What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studio here in the Capital Club in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast. How you doing this morning, Dakota?
Fantastic, Tyler. Got a great view of Jackson here. How are you?
Beautiful view. Tell us a little bit about our sponsor, the Capital Club.
Our sponsor is the Capital Club of Jackson, Mississippi in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. And it's got the best views in Jackson, no doubt. They have event spaces. They just launched, or they're launching, a new event space in the future. They've got membership pricing here, the everyday lunches. They've got it all, Tyler.
Yeah. If you're in the Jackson metro area, you need to check out the Capital Club. Go online and get a membership. They have lunches here every day, and just great networking atmosphere and the most beautiful view in Jackson. Well, you want to introduce our guest to us this morning?
I do. Today we have a virtual guest with us, Mr. Evan Kirkham, CEO of Outlier. Evan, it's a pleasure to have you today.
Thanks, guys.
And then you want to introduce our whiskey to us.
Yeah. Today we have Redemption Bourbon. And this was a $30 bottle. And what's your opinion on it?
So it's a really good whiskey. I think it's smooth. I'm going to have to give it an
8.7.
8.7. Man, that's a really good whiskey.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I want to also give a special shout out to our sponsor, Cheers. They are your source for all things bourbon, whiskey, wine, any liquor, really.
Yeah. And that bottle was brought to you by Cheers. And we can't thank them enough for their sponsorship and then for the service that you get when you go into the store there. I mean, it's phenomenal. JT's there, has great knowledge on bourbon and all types of alcohol. So whatever you need for your alcohol needs, check out Cheers, Vineyard, and Gluckstadt.
That's it.
Well, Evan, excited to have you on today. We always like to start this off just to kind of let our listeners know who you are. So you can kind of tell us, number one, Outlier, what do you do? And then number two, where you grew up and how you got into the industry that you're in today.
Yeah, cool. So first, Outlier. So I like to think of Outlier as kind of an e-trade for sports betting. We partner with all the big sports books, FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, Caesars, BetRivers, PrizePicks, you name it. We type in all of their available bets into one dashboard and then pair those bets with really deep insights and analytics. And we basically allow bettors to go from ideation to analysis to actually executing the bet all in one seamless flow. So instead of having four apps open and price shopping across a bunch of different sports books without any relevant data, we kind of bring it all to you in one spot. We have two subscription tiers. One's a $20 a month tier. One is an $80 a month tier. That's how we make our money. So that's the product. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that. So I'm from Dallas, Texas. Well, I'm actually from the burbs, from Flower Mound, Texas, just a little north of Dallas. I grew up there. I did my undergrad at Ole Miss. So it's kind of fun to get to talk to some Mississippi folks. I'm now in Austin, Texas. So I've kind of moved away, but Mississippi is still near and dear to my heart. After I graduated Ole Miss, I was in Washington, D.C. for about 3.5 years, working in political fundraising, worked at a lobby firm there. Kind of got jaded by that whole machine and went back to Dallas for law school. So I got my law degree at SMU Law and then practiced securities litigation and just kind of general commercial litigation for about 3.5 years. I'm a huge sports fan. I'm a huge DFW sports fan. I love the Cowboys. I love the Rangers. This is an amazing season for us. Dream come true. Stars, all of it. I'm a hockey player. Like, I'm sports. But I was watching a Thursday night football game, and two kind of notoriously awful commentators were on the call. And I got so frustrated by their commentary that I actually just kind of turned off the TV and had an idea for what would end up being our first product, not Outlier, but a product called ColorCast, which is a social sports talk app. Basically, anyone anywhere with no equipment could replace Joe Buck and Tony Romo. I actually really like Tony Romo, so it's not about Tony, but the bad commentator was actually Booger McFarland and Jason Witten. So those are the two who gave me the idea. So I turned off the TV. That next morning, I actually posted the idea on LinkedIn, fully fleshed out. And I had a guy DM me and say, hey, take that down. Let's get lunch. So we got lunch. Turns out he was in the broadcasting industry. And he gave us our first $60,000. And that was our, and then we were kind of off to the races. I'm still working my law job, but now I'm, you know, trying to hire a developer. I'm trying to bring ColorCast to life. That $60,000 eventually turned into $100,000, $150,000. And we kind of got in this cycle of raise new financing, build more product, bring on new users, raise more financing, build more product. Kind of got on that cycle. In March of last year, we kind of saw the writing on the wall that ColorCast wasn't going to be a revenue generating business, which is what businesses need to do. And we were actually in the middle of our seed round. We had a term sheet. We were about to close a $3.5 million round of financing. And in the middle of it, we decided that we were going to hard pivot into sports betting because we saw that there was an appetite for the product we ended up building, Outlier, and the rest is kind of history. I'm sure we can get into it some more, but that's a little bit about who I am, what Outlier is, kind of how I got there.
All right, and so Outlier, so it sounds like it's almost kind of like AI for sports betting. I mean, I know it's maybe not AI exactly, but it kind of takes the work out of it for you. Is that what I'm understanding?
So yes and no. We make it way easier and visual to comprehend the relevant stats. So if you were going to go look at, I don't know, Dak Prescott over 2 touchdowns, if you're going to go look at that proposition bet without Outlier, you'd go to like footballreference.com or ESPN, and what you'd end up doing is looking at a giant spreadsheet of Dak Prescott's stats for all time. That's actually not that helpful. Like, what am I supposed to know for tonight's game and whether he's going to throw over 2 touchdowns? But we'll show you all sorts of cool stuff, like how many times has he thrown over 2 touchdowns in the last 5 games, the last 10 games versus this team? You know, what are the key injuries? How has the price of the bet moved over time? All of it really visual, easy to comprehend, and super actionable.
Where do those analytics come from?
Yeah, we have a ton of sport data providers. So the big provider, and they're actually an enormous company that I didn't know about until I got into the space. They're called Sport Radar. So they have they're kind of our primary source of historical player data. There's others, Sport Data IO, Quarter Four, RotoWire, all sorts of others. And then of course we partner with all the books, so we pipe in all of their available markets. So from an engineering standpoint, the product is really just this Herculean effort of ingesting a ton of different data feeds, blending them all together, and making it kind of user accessible.
Gotcha.
Now, are you still practicing law at this time, or are you fully an Outlier?
No, I'm fully an Outlier now. Yeah, I actually quit the law job. I'm coming up on 3 years. It's crazy to say. I quit the law job. I kind of had this, I left this out of the story, but I had this, like, I hate to use existential crisis. It wasn't like that bad. But I had just come off of a really big federal trial, and I had already kind of started ColorCast, and we were already building and getting users and all that. And I remember sitting across the table from one of the clients, and he was like a granite countertop installer, and he was getting sued for some like allegedly bad work. And I just remember him walking in with his like flip-flops and his, whatever shorts, and I'm all suited up, and he sits down across from me. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, dang, it's not because of the wardrobe, although that's kind of cool. But like, I really want to be in his position, because although he's in some trouble, prospective trouble here, like he's fighting his own fights and waging his own wars, and I'm just kind of a mercenary in this whole scenario, and I wanted to kind of fight my own fight. I don't want to get sued, but I want to fight my own fight. So that's kind of the where it all came from.
How have you seen the regulations change in the sports betting arena in the past 5 years?
they're changing super fast. 2018 was the kind of landmark case called with an overturning of what was called PAPSA, which made it basically gave this each of the 50 states the opportunity to legalize sports betting. We've seen 30 some odd legalize it now, and more are coming on every year. In fact, like every month. So that's changing quickly. We play in what we call the affiliates space. So I'm not a sports book, thankfully, because that registration is an absolute nightmare. So I don't have to go through that. But I still have to get, it's a little bit of complexity here, but theoretically I have to get registered in all 30 of those states as a sports betting affiliate. So we stay really on top of the regs, but yeah, they're moving super fast, and, I expect that to actually accelerate.
Yeah. Well, you spoke on one thing, kind of the pivot y'all made. You saw like, hey, the ColorCast is not going to be where we're going to make our revenue at. Like we've got to find something else that's going to do that. And then you made the transition over to the sports betting. Walk our listeners, because there's a lot of business owners that listen to this, on making that pivot and in the process of doing that.
Yeah, this is something I'm actually really proud of. So I'm happy you asked about this. So obviously pivoting is very difficult. There, you fall into these sunk cost fallacies quickly. Like, oh, I've already spent a year and a half doing this, and we have 10 at the time. We had 10,500 monthly active users, which felt awesome. Like, so and investors are willing to give us a bunch of money. Like we were, like I said, we were cash was almost in the bank when we did the pivot, and in fact, we pissed off a lot of our investors right off the bat. But now they're happy. We'll talk about some of the successes later, but. But yeah, so the process is actually pretty regimented. It's a 4-step process. And maybe I'll speak a little more about the kind of mental processing, but here's kind of the practical how to, 4-step process. Step one is surveys and interviews for your target market. We did about 1,000 interviews and surveys, everyone from other sports betting company owners to really, really sharp sports bettors to very, very novice sports bettors, trying to kind of identify pain points. That was the whole objective there. What we ended up with was a list of 100 plus pain points. Well, not every pain is as acute or as relevant or as lucrative if you solve it. So the next question, step two, is which of these is most acute? And in order to do that, you need to do what's called a stack ranking exercise. So we actually use a really cool piece of software. I'll plug them here in a minute. But we used a piece of software and basically had the general sports betting public rank the acuteness of those problems. The software is called Prolific. So identify pain points, stack rank, so you can figure out the most acute ones. Identify which of those you can actually solve. It's kind of part of step two. Step three is, once you understand which problem you want to solve, we did what we called an Amazon PR exercise. So the idea here is write a fake press release introducing Outlier, an app that blah, 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 partnering with X, Y, and Z. Circulate that with your whole team and, in fact, your stakeholders, and see if it actually gets you excited. Because if you're not excited about it and it doesn't seem like, whoa, that's super cool, I would have clicked on that and read more, then you don't want to build your whole business around that. So that's step three. And then step four is find really, really low lift ways to test the idea. So for us, again, we were going to pair sports bets with data. So what we did is we actually created a Twitter bot that would identify, and this gets a little bit in the weeds, but would identify sports betting tickets, would automatically ingest those, and then basically reply to the tweet with some data related to the sports betting ticket. And we got amazing response. People were like, where do I find more of that data? How do I get more of that? So then what we did is we created a fake landing page, right? It wasn't called Outlier. I think we called it like, what do we call it? Irrelevant. Was not called Outlier. No one knew it was associated with us. But we were looking, how many emails can we collect? Are people really trying to sign up for this? We hadn't built the product, but we were saying, basically, purchase this. Don't give us your credit card yet, but like, essentially, would you purchase this? And we got a great response there, and that was enough for us to say, we're excited about it. We think we're solving real pain points, and we think people are actually going to purchase it. And then we built it.
Well, congratulations on that. It's phenomenal that you were able to make that pivot and, you know, really save the business there. So kudos to you on that.
Yeah. And it sounds like you've got, I don't know if you have it yourself or if there's a third party or a couple of third parties in there, but the technical knowledge for you and the technology aspect of everything is seems to be very high there. So do you have like experience with, you know, creating Twitter bots and things like that? Or is there is there another shadow group or party there that kind of helps out with that too?
Not really. So no, I don't. I'm totally non-technical. I'm like a liberal arts student through and through. I'm like embarrassed. My even my like basic math knowledge is kind of embarrassing. So no, that was not me.
Well, you're in good company here with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I missed it. Say it again.
I said you're in good company here with that.
Okay, good. No, yeah, I'm like embarrassingly non-technical. I have gotten a lot more. Well, I can speak about the concepts now. I obviously still can't code anything. No, it's my team. So there are eight of us, and five of them are full-time engineers. One of the greatest strokes of luck in my professional career, and I hope he hears this, because I mean this, one of the greatest strokes of luck in my professional career was getting hooked up with my co-founder and CTO. When I was in law school, one of my moot court partners was one of his friends. So we had a mutual friend. So we were kind of drinking buddies. And when I went to start Colorcast, he was literally the only engineer I knew. So I texted him. I caught him at a really good time in his life where he wanted to take a risk, try something different. Turns out he's just an A++++ engineer and manager and product visionary and all of that. So that was honestly a pure stroke of luck. But he's built a really great engineering team. And that's where all of that horsepower comes from.
Gotcha.
Well, what advice would you give, say, some of our listeners, they're looking to maybe make a pivot in their business or really start a business? What advice would you give to that young entrepreneur or even middle-aged entrepreneur?
Yeah, I got to think about this. So, I mean, and a lot of these might sound like platitudes, but I'll say them anyway. One is just do it. I feel like half of the game is just getting out there and risking it. About the pivot itself, be really clear-eyed. So again, you can easily fall into this sunk cost fallacy where you think to yourself, I've spent so much time building X that I would be throwing it away if I built Y. Well, that's actually the wrong way to think about it. If you're on the wrong path, the sooner you can get off that path, the better. It's actually worse to continue sinking money into whatever that is and time. So I would just say, you know, be really clear-eyed about where your business is today and where you want it to go and how much time you have to make that happen. And if there's a better, faster, clearer path to doing that, then take that path. It's really just about being bold. If you have investors, this is probably a whole separate topic, but if you have investors, be exceptionally clear about what you're trying to accomplish with the pivot, how fast you think the pivot's going to take, all of that. Otherwise, you're going to end up ticking a lot of people off. That's always going to be a really delicate dance. And then one thing I would say, and this is for starting a business or pivoting a business, like with the Twitter bots, it doesn't have to be a Twitter bot, but let's say you wanted to start something as simple as like a vet clinic or first thing I thought of, like a vet clinic. Well, try to spin up a website and then run some Facebook ads or Instagram ads or whatever, really low cost. Don't, before you go raise the money and build the clinic and hire all the people, go test the market with a couple thousand dollars with ads and a fake landing page, right? And it doesn't have to be the name of your eventual clinic. Just see if people are actually interested in doing that and spend some capital doing that research. It's like Abraham Lincoln saying, like, whatever it is, if I had 10 hours to cut down a tree, spend 9 hours sharpening the axe and then 1 hour cutting down the tree. I'd say the same probably applies to business.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's great advice.
And testing the market is extremely important. I think that gets left out a lot of times. People have a passion for something and a dream for something, and they forget to actually test that to see if it's going to be a business that will actually work.
Yeah, so it's not a calculated risk at that point. That's just full-on risk. Right. I mean, it's just there's no way to even gauge how much risk you're taking at that point because you don't know.
Right.
Exactly. And the reality is you probably have some people around you, like your close friends and family, who are saying, great idea. And it's like, they're not actually your paying customer. So like, figure out from your paying customer whether or not they'll pay.
Yeah, right. They're just gassing you up for no reason.
Well, Dakota, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
Absolutely.
You can give us your thoughts.
Redemption Bourbon. It was pretty good. I don't think I'm quite at 8.7. I'm at like an 8.4.
8.4?
Yeah, but it was pretty good.
Well, nice.
It's not bad for a $30 bottle.
Right.
So, Evan, back to the podcast. What do you see the future of Outlier looking like? Do you want to stay exactly where you're at as the sports betting affiliate, or do you see the analytics and just the sports betting world in general continuing to grow and expanding beyond its current walls?
Well, I think it'll continue to grow and expand. There's some awesome, awesome tailwinds. More states opening up, more books coming online, more novel ways to bet, more people that are actually interested in doing research rather than just closing their eyes and throwing a dart. So I think we've got some really awesome tailwinds that'll help the company grow, just even if we just stay where we are now. But we have some pretty interesting and kind of audacious plans. We want to go international. So we're exploring some markets right now, like the UK, Mexico, some kind of more, like, honestly, the European markets are pretty mature when it comes to sports betting. So looking at some of that stuff, which would be great. Long term, I do want to kind of stay this like an objective data tool. I think that's a really nice place to be. And as of right now, is like a little less competitive than being a sportsbook proper, and certainly simpler than being a sportsbook proper. But I don't know. I don't really know where things will go. I mean, as long as we keep building trust with our users, listening to their feedback, iterating really, really quickly, staying kind of trustworthy and honest, clear pricing, clear value props, I think the business will keep growing, and we'll just be presented with opportunities to, develop, a higher priced tier, for instance, which is crazy to say considering we have an $80 a month tier. But I actually think there's appetite for a $150 a month tier that's even more for even more expert bettors. So, that answer might have been a whole lot of nothing, but we feel good with where we are right now. We think that we'll grow naturally, but at the same time, we let our imagination run wild and then test the theories and then build.
No, that's fantastic. Yeah. I think that's a great setup there too. You imagine what you want the future to look like, you test it, and if you get, X percent response rate on it that's positive, then you execute.
Now, exactly. Are you a sports bettor?
I not like our users, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, I put down some bets on the NBA last night, and I'm actually a big MLB guy.
Okay. So, okay.
Well, with those European markets, you could really get into the soccer aspect of things. And, dude, if you get into that and develop that out well, then, I mean, the rest of the world is your oyster at that point.
Yeah. I need
You're
help.
Absolutely right.
I need some help with my parlays. So maybe I can
well,
I can check
y'all
out.
Well, here's the first thing I can tell you about parlays. Stop doing them. So, but yeah, we got a 7-day free trial. So, yeah, check that out.
Okay, I'll do it. Well, for all our listeners that are out there that maybe they do like sports betting and they don't have the knowledge or want to have more knowledge or have more tools to make more educated guesses, what would be the best way for them to find Outlier and to sign up for a membership or a subscription, I guess would be the better word for it?
Yeah, you can find us on the App Store. Just type in Outlier. You'll see it. I think that the actual title in the App Store is like Outlier, Smarter Sports Betting. But type in Outlier, you'll find us. You can also find us online, outlier.bet, .bet, outlier.bet. You can find us on Twitter, Outlier, .bet, outlier.bet. We're kind of everywhere. You'll be able to find us if you want to.
Great.
Good deal.
Well, we appreciate you coming on today. And for all our listeners, thanks for tuning in this week. And go on social media, give us a follow. And also, however you stream this podcast, if you give us a rating, we greatly appreciate it. See you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.